Tonight, if you would please, and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and in just a few moments, I'm going to be reading the first five verses of Scripture here in the 8th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. What a blessing to see this great number out on a Wednesday evening. I'm so encouraged by the good number every single night. I've told Cassie more than one time since we've been here. My, what a great, consistent crowd of people. And thank you for your faithfulness. Listen, if you want to be a blessing around here, just get involved in the ministry of presence. Just be here every time the doors are open, and my, how much God will use you to encourage not only your pastor's heart, but each and every one of the members' hearts of the Fellowship Baptist Church. Again, let me say thank you, thank you, thank you for everyone that had a part in the wonderful meal tonight. It was just wonderful. The food has been great every night. The fellowship has been even greater. And I'm so appreciative for everything, and I know I speak for my precious wife as well. Wonderful, wonderful days here at Fellowship, and I'm so grateful. Have you found your place in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8? If so, and if you're able, would you please stand as we read the Word of God together? We'll read the text and then consider the context of the Apostle Paul's writing throughout the introduction of the message tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. The Word of God says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Now, I want to encourage you to leave your Bibles open tonight, as all few points of my message will be taken directly from the text that God has led us to tonight. And I realize I've said that every night, but there's a reason that I say that every time I preach, and I'll tell you why. When it comes to giving, it doesn't really matter what Brother Caudle says. But friend, it matters a whole lot what God says. So I'm not here to tell you what the televangelist says. I'm not here to tell you what some other man or some other Bible commentator has said. I want to take my Bible tonight and show you what God says about this matter of giving by faith. I'm going to preach on the thought tonight, making the case for giving by faith. The Word of God will make the case tonight for faith promise missions giving. Let's bow our heads, shall we, for a moment of prayer. Father, what a great evening thus far. I pray now you'd bless our time of Bible study. Help me, I pray. I'm nothing without you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. Please be seated. Making the case for giving by faith. Now, before we go any further into the message, let's take a few moments and consider the context of Paul's writing the verses of Scripture before us this evening. When you study the Word of God, you'll discover that after waiting a full year for the Corinthian church to fulfill a promise regarding a special offering for the saints at Jerusalem, Paul is writing the chapter before us in order to persuade the Corinthians to do what they had promised earlier in the year they would do. Well, in an effort to be effective in doing so, Paul begins to use the churches of Macedonia as an example of giving by faith for the sake of others. Now, it's important to remember those Macedonian churches consisted of the church of Philippi, the church of Thessalonica, as well as the church of Berea. These three churches had participated in that same offering as a result of the report they had initially received from Paul concerning the church of Corinth's promise to give. Now, we know that's the case because we've not only taken the time to read 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, but we've also read 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 as well. There, Paul declared in the latter portion of verse 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, your zeal, speaking of course, of the Corinthians' zeal, hath provoked very many. That is to say, as a result of the Corinthians' promise to give, well, the Macedonians came right along and they too were persuaded to give as well. However, when you study the Bible, you'll discover there was a vast difference between the Corinthians' promise to give and the Macedonians' promise to give. The Corinthians' promise to give turned into procrastination, but the Macedonians' promise to give turned into performance. The Corinthians delayed when it came to this matter of giving, but the Macedonians dedicated themselves to carry out the will of God and give for the sake of others by faith. And therefore, the Bible is careful to teach us, each and every one of us, that God would work through those Macedonian churches giving in order to finance the work of reaching others with the gospel. Now that truth assures us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, there is a reason God has forever preserved these verses of Scripture in our King James Bibles tonight. Can I say to you tonight, Fellowship Baptist Church, God still has a plan to finance the work of world evangelism. And I believe with all of my heart that plan is clearly revealed in the same truths that Paul is sharing here in the text that we've read tonight concerning the Macedonian church's giving. Why, you don't think for one moment that Jesus would have commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature without a plan to finance that great work, do you? Absolutely not. I submit to you, God does have a plan to finance the work of reaching the world with the gospel, and that plan is clearly revealed here in the text before us. And since that plan includes me, since that plan includes you, child of God, and in fact, every one of us that make up the Church of the Living God today, I therefore would say that it would behoove each and every one of us to consider God's plan for financing the work of world evangelism. However, tonight, first things first. First things first. When you study your Bible, you discover that God in His Word primarily speaks of three different types of giving. First of all, God speaks in His Word of the tithe. Now, this isn't a tithing message, but let me just take a few moments and tell you in a nutshell what this Bible, what God says in His Word concerning the tithe. The word tithe simply means tenth and speaks of a tenth of one's increase that God has ordained to be given from each and every one of His children in order that the financial needs of the local church be met. That's God's plan for the tithe. I submit to you tonight, just as God has a plan to finance the great work of world evangelism, God also has a plan to finance the needs of His local church, and that is through and by the tithes of God's people. The Bible speaks, the Bible teaches us about the tithe. Now, I know your pastor would agree with this. It was a great day in my life when someone taught me that the tithe should be the starting point of all of our giving. It should never be the stopping point, but it should always be the starting point. I like to say it like this. The tithe isn't the ceiling we stop at. The tithe is merely the floor that we stand upon. Now, please don't come up to me after the service and get into some sort of argument about whether or not tithing was something that was done under the law. Well, Abraham tithed before there even was a law. I like to say it like this. Abraham commenced it, Jacob continued it, Moses commanded it, and in the New Testament of the Bible, Jesus commended it. And therefore, who in the world am I to cancel it? Hear me, the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 27 and verse number 30, the tithe is the Lord's. Are you listening? The tithe is the Lord's, and it is holy unto Him. And therefore, since the tithe belongs to the Lord, hear me tonight, church, we really haven't even started giving until we have given above what already belongs to the Lord. The tithe is the Lord. Pastor Freeman, I am absolutely convinced that every financial need of the local church would be met and exceeded if God's people would simply follow God's plan and faithfully give through their local church what belongs to the Lord anyway. That is exactly why the Old Testament prophet Malachi said in Malachi chapter 3, bring ye all the tithes, listen, into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. That's what God said. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Hear me tonight, church. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 is just one portion of the Bible out of many portions of the Bible that assures each and every one of us tonight, it's not a burden to tithe. Brother, it's a blessing to tithe. Tithing doesn't produce poverty. Tithing assures us of God's plenty. So the Bible speaks of the tithe. The tithe should be the starting point of all of our giving. The tithe is God's ordained way. It's God's ordained way of taking care of your pastor, his family, the staff. It's God's ordained way of paying the light bill around here and paying for the water that's used in the facilities. I'm telling you, the tithe is to be given through the local church. It is the starting point of all of our giving. And the reason why it's impossible to preach on giving and not say something about, listen, it's impossible to preach on giving and not say something about the tithe, because the tithe should be the starting point. And so the Bible speaks of the tithe. Secondly, the Bible speaks of sacrificial giving or voluntary offerings. Now, this type of giving is beyond the tithe. For instance, the children of Israel gave of their own treasures when it came to the erection of the tabernacle in the wilderness. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a wonderful example of sacrificial giving, voluntary giving, in order that the work of God might move forward. And opportunities will always abound through the ministry of the local church for God's people to give sacrificially over and above their tithe, to give voluntarily. I assure you, God may lay on your pastor's heart a need for maybe a benevolence need in the community. Maybe the Lord lays upon his heart to build a new building, and he wants to raise extra funds to build that new building for God's honor. And he would give you an opportunity to give over and above your tithes voluntarily with that sacrificial giving. The Bible speaks often of such giving. It is given over and above the tithe. But then there is what I believe is the most blessed of all giving. And I think it could be called giving by faith for the sake of others. I like to call it the missions offering. And the more I read and study my Bible, the more I am absolutely convinced that God intended for the world to be evangelized by means of this type of giving. There are those that call it grace giving, and it certainly is grace giving. I like the term as well, faith promise giving. Because the term adequately describes what Paul is writing about here, not only in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, but 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. So with those things in mind, now that we have established the fact that the tithe is the starting point of all of our giving, now that we have established the fact that all other giving is over and above our tithes, sacrificial offering, voluntary offerings, let's dig into the truths of the scriptures tonight in order to get the mind of God when it comes to this matter of giving by faith for the sake of others. I believe there are a few things God would have us to see about the Macedonian church's giving that would not only encourage us, but challenge us in a special way tonight. First of all, notice with me here in the Word of God, number one, the problems their faith had to overcome. The problems their faith had to overcome. Let me say this and we'll consider the text. There will always, are you listening? Say amen. There will always be problems our faith will have to overcome. If you are waiting until you make the last house payment, if you are waiting until you pay the last car payment off, or finally finish paying for the surgery you had 3 years ago, if you are waiting until all of the financial stars line up for you to start giving, then chances are you will never know the joy. You will never know the blessing of giving by faith for the sake of others. Hear me tonight. There will always be problems our faith will have to overcome. According to the text before us, the Macedonians gave in spite of some things. First of all, according to the text, they gave in spite of great affliction. Do you see it in verse 2? Great affliction. Listen, these churches knew what it was like to suffer for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul refers to the Thessalonian suffering in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 when he wrote, "For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." I've always found it interesting that Paul also referred to the Thessalonian suffering in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 as well as 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Hear me tonight. These Macedonian churches, brother, they knew what it was like to suffer for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, in spite of their great affliction, they refused to allow it to cloud their vision for reaching others with the gospel. They refused to allow their great affliction to deter them from making a difference in the lives of others. And therefore, according to verse 2 of the chapter before us, what should have resulted in keeping resulted in giving, because they were giving by faith. What should have resulted in pouting resulted in praising, because they were giving by faith. What should have resulted in sorrow resulted in shouting. Paul spoke of great affliction in verse 2, but in spite of that, in the same verse of Scripture, he spoke of abundant joy. They had learned the joy of giving in spite of some things. They gave in spite of great affliction. According to the text, they gave in spite of deep poverty. Isn't that exactly what Paul said? Deep, are you listening? Deep poverty. These Macedonian churches were not giving because they could afford to give. They were not giving simply because they were going to get a tax receipt at the end of the year. They were giving in spite of living in extreme poverty. Oh, can you imagine how easy it would have been for these Macedonian churches to get their eyes only upon themselves and upon their own circumstances? However, the Bible teaches us, in spite of the affliction, in spite of deep poverty, their heart was towards God and others. Do you want to know why that was the case? Because when they started giving by faith, when they put their treasure in reaching others with the gospel, when they put their treasure in church planting that Paul was used of God to accomplish, their heart followed. And isn't that exactly what Jesus said would happen? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Listen now, Jesus said this, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Did you get that? Don't miss that. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, I'm going to stop right here long enough to make a confession to my friends at the Fellowship Baptist Church of Madison, Virginia. Preacher, I'm honest, I hate to say it, but when I first started pastoring and preaching, I preached Matthew 6 wrong. I mean, I preached it wrong. Did a lot of good preaching. I mean, preached the paint off the wall. There was only one thing wrong with it, Brother Dice. It just wasn't so. Here's what I would say. I would get up in the pulpit, and boy, I wanted the people that I pastored to have and bear the same burden for the church and the work of God that God had placed on my heart. And so here's what I would say to the church. Put your heart here. Put your heart here. Put your heart in your bus route. Put your heart in your Sunday school class. Put your heart in your ministry. And when you put your heart here, your treasure will follow. That's not what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Do you see the difference? You put the treasure first. Are you listening tonight? You put the treasure first. Jesus said, "Your heart will follow." That's what Jesus said. You can't improve upon what Jesus said. Amen. Now, I feel right at home here tonight. I don't think you're going to run me out of town on a rail for saying this, but I'm just going to preach real plain tonight. All right, here it goes. You want to know why some folks don't have a heart to reach the world with the gospel? Check the giving record. if you don't put your treasure there, but preacher, I've got a house. Well, don't most of us? But preacher, my car, Jesus said, put your treasure there. That's a step of faith. Listen, I come from a long, long line of penny pinchers. My daddy was a penny pincher. His daddy, boy, was he ever a penny pincher. And when I put my treasure anywhere, it's a step of faith. Jesus said, put your treasure there. And if you put your treasure there, if you learn the joy that these Macedonians had learned, if you learn to give in spite of some things, Jesus gave you a promise. Your heart will follow. Hear me tonight, and I'm moving. There will always be problems your faith will have to overcome. Well, the Bible teaches us that right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Secondly, notice with me here, not only the problems their faith had to overcome, but what about the pattern of their faith? Look with me in your Bibles tonight. I think you'll discover there is an obvious pattern in the Macedonian church's giving. Look at verse 3. For to their power, Paul writes, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Now, can I ask you tonight, do you see the pattern of the Macedonians' faith? Well, first of all, the Bible teaches us that they started giving to their power. Giving back to God what already belongs to God. Listen, that's giving to your power. Giving to your power is giving God the tithe. Giving it through the local, that's giving to your power. The Macedonians started giving to their power. Whatever they made, if they made $10 a week, a dollar of it went to their local church. If they made $100 a week, $10 of it went to the local. They started giving to their power. Then I will tell you what I believe that means. I believe after they gave their tithe, I believe those Macedonians sit down around the table at night and they begin to figure out, okay, what can we give over and above our tithes so that others could hear the gospel? And I believe, honestly, I believe those words, to their power, mean that they sat down and they figured up on paper what they could afford to give. And Pastor, I'm so thankful God put that in His Word, because if you're here this week and maybe you've never given so that others could hear the gospel over and above your tithe before, this is a wonderful place to start. Start giving to your power. Give what you can afford. If you've never given before, sit down with your monthly budget and figure, can you give $25 a month? Could you give $35 a month? Could you give $10, $15 a week to keep a soul out of hell? Would it be worth a few less trips out to eat a week so you could give more to missions? That's giving to your power. But wait a minute, according to the Bible, the Macedonians started giving to their power, but when they put their treasure there, somebody holler up here and tell me what followed. Their heart. And when their heart followed, they wanted to do more. And so they go back, they sit down around the kitchen table again, and they take out that monthly budget. But wait a minute, there's a problem. They're living in extreme poverty. It doesn't add up on paper. They want to give more, but it doesn't add up on paper. So here's what they did. They go to the Lord in prayer, and they say, Lord, we've put our treasure in Paul's ministry, and we believe that he's your man, he's your missionary, he's your church planner. And Lord, when we put our treasure in Paul's ministry. When we put our treasure into making a difference in the lives of others, Lord, there has been a holy dissatisfaction with just giving to our power. So, Lord, we want to give more. But there's a problem, Lord. What we want to give doesn't add up on paper. So, Lord, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a step of faith here. And we're going to start giving by faith what doesn't add up on paper. And we are going to trust you, Father, to give through us, to give away what you would never give to us to keep. And when they exercise, I'm about to get excited preaching about giving by faith. When they exercised their faith in their giving, according to the Bible, God worked a miracle. Because Paul said in verse 3, for to their power I bear record. Don't miss this. If you mark in your Bible, this would be a good place to underline. This would be a good place to highlight. If you mark in your Bible, boy, you ought to circle these next few words. And beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. God, when they exercised their faith, God began to give through them to give what He would have never give to them to keep. And you see examples of this all throughout the pages of the Bible. Can I give you one? 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah comes to the gate of the city. There's a little widow woman gathering sticks there. Elijah calls to her and says, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. The woman turns to fetch it. And Elijah calls to her again, and ma'am, while you're at it, bring me a morsel of bread as well. Well, when you study 1 Kings chapter 17, you'll discover, listen, there was a famine going on in the land. I mean, Elijah's demand for water was a tough one to carry out, but now he wants even more. He wants a morsel of bread. Do you remember what the little woman told him? As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And man of God, I've already built a fire, and I'm going to take this meal and this oil, and I've already got plans to go in and dress it for me and my son, and we're going to eat it, then we're going to die. That was her plan. But God had another plan. Elijah says, fix me thereof a little cake. What? First. But seek ye first, Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. And when you study the context of that verse, the Bible is speaking of the daily necessities of life. And all these things shall be added unto you. You know what that little woman did? I guess she figured, well, if I'm going to die anyway, I ain't got a thing in the world to lose. So you know what she did? She not only heard the word, she heeded the word, and she made Elijah a little cake first. Well, the next morning she got up, there's another handful of meal in that barrel. And the next morning she got up, and there was another handful. And the next morning, there was another handful. And the word of God says that she and he and her house house did eat many days. You want to know what happened? I guarantee you I know what happened, and you can too. Exactly what happened to these Macedonian churches. They exercised, that little lady exercised her faith, and when she took that step of faith, God worked a miracle. She would take meal out of that barrel, and God would put more in. She would take meal out of that barrel, and God would put more in. If I wasn't so dignified, I'd walk them pews to the back. You want to know why? I'll tell you why. That's what God has been doing for our family now for years.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Can I tell you this one true story? And I'll hurry through my last few points. True story. Not long after we left the pastorate to go into missions, we were riding down the road one day. Pastor Freeman headed towards our next meeting. Cassie and I were in the car. Cassie said, just right out of the blue, she said, I miss a lot of things about being a pastor's wife. Can I tell you what I miss the most? I thought, well, yeah, honey. What do you miss the most about being a pastor's wife? And Cassie said, I miss having my own personal faith promise. You see, at our house, we had the Caudle family faith promise, but then Brother Scott had a faith promise, Cassie had a faith promise, and all of our children had their own personal faith promise. I would talk to Cassie, and we would determine what we were going to give throughout the course of the mission year as a family. But when it came to our own personal faith promise, we kept that between ourselves. We didn't know. We didn't know what each other was giving. That was between us and the Lord. That's just the way that we have done it for years. And at that time, Cassie was our missions secretary at our church, and we were giving about $200,000 a year to missions. We supported about 130 or 40 missionaries at that time, and so she worked two or three days a week in the office to take all of those monies, those finances, and send them out to missionaries around the world. And so the church wasn't able to give her a large salary, but they gave her a little bit of salary just to show their appreciation for the work that she was doing in our office. And from that little salary, she made her own personal faith promise. But now that we're in missions, she doesn't have that little three-day-a-week job any longer. She doesn't have any personal income. And she told me that day, I really miss having my own personal faith promise. Well, that night I was preaching a missions conference, and I challenged the church that was kind enough to have us there to give by faith, to exercise their faith, and I encouraged them not to take the faith out of faith promise, because Hebrews 11 and 6 teaches us that without faith it is impossible to please the Lord. I finished preaching that night, and when I extended the invitation, I happened to notice Cassie was the first one to go to the altar. After the service was over, we were headed back to the motel, and she said, just right out of the blue, I think I need to tell you why I went to the altar tonight. I've been bothered by what I told you earlier about not having a salary to make a personal faith promise. And she said, I went to the altar tonight, and I asked the Lord to forgive me for that. And I said, well, honey, what do you mean? You need forgiveness for that? She said, yeah. It just dawned on me, God doesn't need to give me a salary before I can give by faith. So I just want you to know tonight, I made a faith promise. I'm trusting that God will give through me to give what He would never give to me to keep. Well, not long after that, I went to Cassie and I said, Cassie, God has worked through our CD sales since we've been on the road to provide all of the gas for our vehicle. If you will take care of the CDs and see that continues, I will make them, and whatever else comes in over and above that, you can have for yourself. We won't keep a dime of it. You can have for yourself, because I knew what she would do with that money. Well, everywhere we go, if I haven't talked to the pastor about it, I always ask the pastor's permission. Is it okay with you if I put some CDs on my table? I ask Pastor Freeman before I put the CDs on the table back here. We were in a church in North Carolina. It was a rather large church. And therefore, it sort of surprised me when I asked the pastor, "Pastor, is it okay if we put some CDs on our table this week?" And I could tell the pastor was sort of hesitant. And he said, "Brother Caudle," he said, "if it's okay with you, would you care not to do that? We've just had some issues in the past, and really I just don't want to deal with it this week." I said, "Pastor, that's more than fine. No problem." So I tell Cassie, "Miss Cassie, when you set up the display, don't put the CDs out. The pastor would rather not do that." And Cassie went, "Oh." I said, "Well, what's wrong, honey?" She said, "I needed my faith promise this week." And I said, "Well, we'll just do what I tell people to do and preach to people to do every week of our lives. Trust God. Believe God. Who knows where God may send it from?" And after those words come out of my mouth, the devil said, "You are an idiot." I don't know if he ever tells you that. He tells me that often. Sometimes I agree with him. And so God said, exercise your faith. Do you know that week, not the week before, not the week after, that week we had the largest order for CDs on our website that we've ever had before. And boy, that's enough to shout about. But can I tell you who ordered? They went to the website and ordered one of every CD we had. That's 10 CDs. You folks get the Blue Light Special here. They're only $10. On the website, they're $15. And then you pay to ship them wherever you want us to ship them to. Somebody had gone to our website and had ordered one of every CD we have. Can I tell you who did it? A deaf Bible college choir. They're deaf. They can't hear. What in the world does a bunch of deaf folk want to do with 10 CDs? I mean, $150 worth of CD. Music, and as soon as I saw that, and every order I get online, I get a name, I get an address of where to send the CDs to. And as soon as I saw on our website who ordered that, I thought, "Boy, Pastor Freeman has played a dirty joke on Brother Caudle. This is not true. Somebody's playing a joke." So I call the number. So when I call the number, a lady answers, and she answers, "Such and such deaf Bible college." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, my name is Scott Caudle." She said, "Oh, Brother Caudle, it's amazing that you would call. We just placed a large order from your website. We ordered one of every CD you got. The check's in the mail." I said, "Wait a minute, this isn't a joke." And she said, "Well, what makes you think it's a joke?" I said, "Ma'am, these people can't hear. What are they doing ordering music?" And she said, she laughed, just like some of you are laughing right now. And she said, "Oh, Brother Caudle, listen. Some of them can hear a little bit. And so they knew that your music was conservative. They know you sing a lot about world evangelism. And so they take your music because they know nobody will be offended by it. And they play your music over church's sound system, and they turn it up loud enough that they can feel the beat of the song in their feet, and they sign as you sing." She said, "Oh no, this is no joke. The check's in the mail. Send the CDs." You know what God did? God sent that offering to Cassie. Cassie didn't keep that money. She sent it out to the missionaries that she supports all over the world. You know what she did? She took a step of faith. And ever since she's made that faith promise, listen, she doesn't talk much in a congregation like this, but she could stand and give you for instance after for instance after for instance of people. Sometimes people just right out of the blue. They never do this to me. But they'll walk up to Cassie at the table and with tears in their eyes, they'll hand her a $50 bill and say, I don't know why this is the last 50 I got, but God said, give it to you. God will give through you what He would never give to you. Are you hearing me? I feel the Lord as I preach tonight. God will give through you what He would never give to you to keep. Maybe you just need to exercise your faith a little this year and trust God to give through you so that others could hear the gospel. They started giving to their power, but they wanted to do more. But if they were going to do more, it would take a step of faith. They took the step and God worked a miracle. That's the same God we serve tonight. He hasn't lost 1 ounce of His power. He's still the God of gods. He's still the King of kings. He's still the Lord of lords. He's never run short of money. He's never been sick. He never says, uh-oh, because He never makes a mistake. That's the God we serve. Wow. I got to hurry these last few points, the pattern of their faith. Notice verse 4, the partnership of their faith. Verse 4 teaches us that these churches literally pleaded with Paul. They begged Paul. Paul put it this way in verse 4, with much entreaty. They begged Paul to take their offering. The Macedonians said, Paul, hey, we love you, man. We're for you. We're thrilled to partner with you, and we're going to send you another offering. Paul said, absolutely not. No way. You've given, remember what he said to the church of Philippi in the book of Philippians? You've given once and again unto my necessity. You're living in extreme poverty. You're suffering great affliction. You've given and given and given and given and given. No more. I can't take your offering anymore. Give it to someone else, not me. And those churches said, Paul, please take our offering. Please take our gift. We want to partner with you. Paul, we can't travel like you travel, but we can have a part in sending you. Paul, we can't plant a church like you're planting churches, but we can have a part in sending you. Do you know what the Macedonians discovered? The Macedonian churches discovered what Fellowship Baptist Church ought to discover tonight. And here it is. It isn't just that the missionaries need you. Now, please don't misunderstand. They do need you. The Lears will never get to Portland, Oregon without churches like you. They do need you. But wait a minute. Church, and go ahead and respond to me tonight. Church, has God commanded you to reach the world with the gospel? Is Portland, Oregon a part of the world that God has commanded you to reach? Amen. Well, then it's not just that the Lears need you. You got to have the Lears. Amen. If you're going to be obedient to the command of the thrice holy God of glory to reach the world, you can't do it without the Lears. You can't do it without Dana Dice and his family. You can't do it without the Godfreys headed to Idaho. You can't do it without the missionary. Hear me tonight. God has so designed this thing that we are co-laborers together. We are partners. We need each other. The partnership of their faith. And finally, verse 5. In verse 5, you see the priority of their faith. And this they did, Paul said, not as we hoped, which simply means the Macedonian church's giving far exceeded what Paul could have ever hoped for. But this they did not as we hope, but, somebody say that next word for me. First. But first, verse 5 says, gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, let me close by showing you what the Macedonian churches didn't do. This is what the, according to verse 5, this is what the Macedonian churches didn't do. They didn't do that. They did that, but not first. The Bible says in verse 5, they first did this. They gave themselves. They put themselves in the offering plate. And when they put themselves in the offering plate, I want you to look what went in the offering plate right along with them. But if they never would have done this, then I assure you, they never would have done this. Faith promise giving doesn't begin by doing this. Faith promise giving begins by doing this. And if you're ever going to do this, it's ultimately the result of you doing this first. You want to know why some folks can't get a hold of it? And some folks, and I believe saved folks, are going to eventually go to glory one day and miss out on a lot of rewards because they've never done this. I'll say this, I'm praying. If you'll do this tonight, everything else will take care of itself. You've listened so well. Would you bow your head with me? My Father, tonight in Jesus' name, speak to our hearts. And I believe, Father, you've already have. I pray you would continue to do so. And for doing so this very evening, I'll give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Can I challenge you tonight, Fellowship Baptist Church, by asking you this question? Don't you want to do more? Listen, I believe that we could be standing before the Lord before we see the sunrise of another morning. If that's going to be the case, and it could very well be, wouldn't you like to have it on your record as a church family that you determined to follow the faith of your pastor and take a greater step of faith this year in your missions giving over and above your regular tithes and offerings and do more to reach the world with the gospel? I assure you, nobody, and I mean nobody, has ever learned the joy, experienced the joy of giving by faith just to eventually stand before the Lord and be sorry for the investment in the eternal things of God they make when they give so that others could hear the gospel. So I want to ask you tonight as we stand to our feet all over the building,